It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the Inner West, and we just tweeted that live. I just literally hit enter, and there it is, tweeted now and stuff.
For those of you who understand what tweeting is all about.
We still haven't done a show on that, have we?
No, we haven't. I taught Tweety Bird.
You sort of did. Welcome to tonight's Gadget Grill on November 8th, 2009. And what a special weekend this has been. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because we were invaded by Bumblebee. Do you know who Bumblebee is?
No, I do not.
Well, if you've seen Transformers, which is probably one of the coolest geek movies of all time, the recreation of toys into an animated series, into a movie, the Bumblebee robot, or at least a model of it, invaded Sydney this weekend. It was down at Bondi Beach, and I think also on the other side of the harbour, around Melson's Point. There was a massive full-size model of the Camaro-turned robot sitting, or standing there, waiting for people to stand underneath his foot and be squished. It is like it. That is the song.
Yeah, that actually is it. I found it.
Oh, you found it. Good. This is because it's
by Kennedy.
Yeah, because this is... Oh, cool. That's cool. So this is the Bumblebee show, and or the Bumblebee theme show. We're not going to really do much whole Bumblebee thing. We might buzz a little bit, but that could just be the reception that we put out.
Yeah.
So this is the Bumblebee show. We'll try and put a picture of Bumblebee, because he looked really cool. I know it was a model, and I know it was all fiberglass and plastic and rubber and whatnot, but that was as close to a Transformer.
Just like a hamburger.
Yeah, it's just like a hamburger. It was as close to an actual real-life Transformer as you could probably get.
Well, there you go.
That was pretty cool. So welcome to the Gadget Grill. My name is Lee Stark.
My name is Gary Stark.
And Bumblebee is speaking through us this week. And this week we're going to be talking about something Bumblebee can't do, which is touch. We're talking about touch technologies, correct?
Yes, we are. We're going to talk about touch technology, and we're going to talk about, I don't know.
We're going to talk about touchscreen technology.
Touchscreen technology.
Specifically, because you've been having a lot of play with that this week.
I've been having a good play with a very nice little box.
Taking your greasy little fingers and fingers.
You should see all the finger marks all over this monitor.
HP are really, it's not just a monitor, it's a computer.
It's a computer,
yes. It does a lot more than the monitor does.
That's right.
And we're also going to be talking about a GPS tonight. Actually,
yes.
This is a very you-oriented show, because you've been playing with most technology this week.
I've been playing with
you're actually helping out this week.
I've been playing with all manner of toys, just as well, actually. Well, because you nearly didn't turn up.
Yeah, well, that's not my fault. I blame bad pizza and bad traffic.
No comment.
Okay, fine. And we've also got a whole bunch of news. There's literally a whole ton of stuff this week, including one that actually confirmed that you were right about something at least 2 years in advance.
There you go.
I mean,
I think I probably said that about 4 years ago, actually.
I never actually heard you saying it 4 years ago. I heard you saying it 2 years ago. So I'm going to go with 2 years and be cool with that. It also is that particular story is an interesting send-off to things like Blu-ray.
The question is, what of digital media?
Indeed.
In terms of storage, because Blu-ray is...
Don't give it away.
Okay.
Give it away. Let's just get in some music. This is actually from an anime soundtrack from Ghost in the Shell. One of my
favorite. You're telling me that I'm going to like this music.
You might, actually. It's sort of jazzy hip-hop. It's written by a girl named Yoko Kanno, who does a whole bunch of weird jazzy stuff for anime soundtracks. So you might.
Right.
This is the naked version of Get 9. I think that just means it doesn't have hip-hop overlining it.
Thank
or overlaying
goodness.
It, or more hip-hop. It has a little bit on it.
Okay.
It's like jazzy hip-hop fusion stuff.
Right.
This is Get 9 by Yoko Kanno.
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. It's party time, and we want to see your photos. 2RDJ and our good friends from HP have a brand new HP PhotoSmart Premium all-in-one printer valued at $299 for one lucky listener just for sharing with us your happy party photos. Just email your photos to us at 2RDJcompetition@gmail.com, making sure that you include your contact details, and you will be in the running to win this fabulous printer. photos should be of yourself, your family, your friends, or your workmates, and they should show you having a good time. The photo that we think shows the best party, that we think is the happiest snap, gets the printer in time for the upcoming holiday season. It's that simple. Again, email your photo to rdjcompetition@gmail.com and be in it to win it. HP are proud sponsors of 2RDJ-FM.
Sorry, it's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ on our Bumblebee show.
What did I do? Buzz off.
Fine. You can listen to this on lots of mainstream technology like radios, or if you happen to be a bee and you've got that whole pollination thing going, you can rig up a whole cascade of flowers in this massive array and use a whole bunch of wires.
Pollination is all about sex.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, cool. So I just talked about sex without realizing it.
Yes.
That's fantastic. I was hoping to do that. But
and you've learned something too.
I have. Well, it's dangerous anyway. And if you'd like to learn something else, you can head to www.radio2rdj.com where you can actually learn about the magic of the internet streaming this show. If you're already doing that, that's great. Good for you.
If you're not,
you can also...
Then you must be listening to us on the radio.
And if you'd like to listen to this show
and
later,
if you're not listening to us, then all of this was a waste of time.
Listening. No, not necessarily, because...
If they're not listening to us, it was.
No, not necessarily, because they could be listening to a rehash of us.
But then they would be listening to us, not listening to us.
You know what? Just shut the hell up, okay? Let me get this out of me. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about this for the next 10 minutes, and we've got other more important crap to talk about. You can head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au. This is our 49th show. You can listen to all the other 48 shows we've got on there. They're actually scoring pretty well lately. Join in the crowd. Everyone's doing it. Even Peter's doing it.
Peter's...
I didn't break the glass, did I?
No, you didn't, but Peter just made a very rude gesture.
Really? I never thought Peter Worthington could make rude gestures.
Oh, God. And just as well we don't have the Lions here tonight.
If you'd like to hear Peter Worthington and Gary Stark get on with Strange Activities, you can listen to them on Tuesdays from 1 till 3 on this station.
And I'm sure we have a promo for that.
Yeah, there's probably a bit of promo. There's always at least one promo for that show in here. Let's get on with the news, shall we?
Okay, the news. Boffins have created a piece
of... Wait, what's a boffin?
A boffin. A boffin.
A person?
A person.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So a person.
An academic, if you like.
A smart person, theoretically.
Yes.
Okay.
They've created a piece of software which can tell why a baby is crying after listening to the baby for just a few seconds.
I also heard that apparently a baby cries in the accent of its parent. That was new today as well.
I didn't hear that one. But you can now get an iPhone app that you hold up.
You can get an iPhone app for anything.
Yeah, you can get this iPhone app. You hold it up near your baby and find out whether it's hungry, tired, bored, stressed, or angry. It costs £6.
That's an expensive app.
It's called Cry Translator.
Do we have anyone we can test that on with? How many people?
Yes, we do, but I can't mention that on the air.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. Speaking of iPod apps, the Apple App Store has now over 100,000 applications.
Oh, dear. You should have told me about that beforehand.
Why? What are you going to do?
I could probably do that.
You want me to just keep talking? So it's got over 100,000 applications, probably, I'd say, at least 20% are fart applications. You know, there's plenty of those in there.
Yeah.
And apparently, the most popular iPod apps are things like the T-Pain application, you know, that makes you sound like, T-Pain gives you the whole electronic voice that Antares did. Oh, cool. You want to turn it up a little bit? I'll just say it again. The Apple App Store has now 100,000 over applications. Okay, cool. We're done with that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, a more important story is that radio, the media we're on, and CDs are more popular than MP3s, a study has just found. This was done in America. The study, for what it's worth, only surveyed around 300 adults in 5 U.S. cities, so that's not a huge number. But they found from that survey, 70% of those Americans were still listening to radio on any given day. That was the most rated.
And most of them listen to community radio.
Completely, because community radio is so much better than commercial radio.
Absolutely.
They're nice on commercial radio, but we're cooler.
We're better.
We're so much cooler.
We're better.
Yeah.
From the Seattle Times comes a story. Mm-hmm. You want some coffee. Seattle, of course, being the big city where coffee is prevalent.
Seattle's best and Starbucks. Yeah.
Coffee stands for Computer Online Forensic Evidence Extractor.
Somehow I don't think I'm going to get my caffeine boost from that.
No, you're not. It's a USB thumb drive
that
Microsoft have developed and distributed to some law enforcement agencies. And it allows them to plug into a computer and get access to everything on the computer, you know, look at all the passwords and everything.
Ooh.
So that they can go in and use this to help with law enforcement.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think we should get a copy of that to review.
You just want some coffee. More coffee stains on the business cards, Dad?
That's right.
Right. This is what I hate to say this because it's going to make me feel really awful inside. You were right.
I know.
You were right.
Am I ever wrong? Don't answer that.
Yeah.
Shut up, Peter.
You were right. It's a good thing Peter's actually in the studio opposite us now, watching us, watching our every move, waiting to pounce like a strange kitten.
He's got the whip out
really?
To make sure that we're working hard.
I just heard a noise, and that didn't sound good.
That was the whip. That was Peter cracking the whip.
You were right about something.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, when I heard you say this, I'm not sure if you did say it 4 years ago, but I know you did say it a couple of years ago. You said, what did you say?
I said that we would see movies come out on memory cards, SD cards, compact flash cards, and it was going to be the way of the future.
It was going to be the way of the future. Seagate actually agreed with you, as did Western Digital, two of the biggest companies who produce hard disk drives. They've come out and said it before, and they've also said that in wake of Sony thinking Blu-ray was the future, which it's a good storage medium, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Well, Paramount and Kingston, Paramount being the motion picture company, and Kingston, who
makes storage media,
are bringing out Transformers, which is nice and convenient for our show today.
Yes.
Transformers: Revenge of the Fallen, the sequel on. At the same time, it's coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, but they're also bringing it out on a 4 gig USB drive for $30 US. Now, I think that's a little bit too expensive. Given that, I mean, you get the movie. I also don't.
What's the cost of the movie on DVD and Blu-ray?
In America, it'd be about $20, I guess.
Yeah,
it's $30 to $40.
So that's a little bit more expensive than it should be.
And you do get a 4 gig drive on it. But I'm a little bit concerned.
But you shouldn't be using the 4 gig drive because this should be read only protected. And
it probably won't be though.
You lose your movie, you're stuffed.
What worries me also is that the quality, because you think that a Blu-ray is between 12 and 50
gig. So this is going to be DVD quality.
Yeah, and that's what has me a little bit worried. For that price. So they're still not quite there yet.
No, but that's where I think it's heading.
Mm.
But for most people, I think DVD quality is probably reasonably adequate.
Well, I got to tell you, after testing on my new TV, which I'll have a review for next week probably, I am actually seeing why HD DVD and Blu-ray, the high def formats, the dead HD DVD, why they are so much better. You can see the difference.
And in fact, I will come to that in the other review as well because you've seen some of the things that
I've
pointed out on
it. I have.
Ford. I've got a couple of motoring things here.
I've got a motoring thing as well coming up.
Ford have announced I love the way the story was written. I've just pulled this story straight off the internet, and it says that they have announced a new seatbelt innovation as opposed to some other sort of innovation.
A new innovation?
Yes. this is interesting. Seatbelts that inflate during a collision. Basically, they've put an airbag inside a seatbelt. This is for rear seat passengers where people are less inclined to fasten their seatbelt.
Yeah.
And it spreads the force of the collision from the seatbelt over five times the area of a normal seatbelt.
I think it's a great idea.
So it's a safer idea. I think that's
excellent.
Very good. It also gives you padding around the neck and so on as it inflates. So interesting. The second one that I have is Lucent and a number of other partners.
Lucent are a mobile phone company, a telecommunications company.
They've produced a demonstration connected car of the future by integrating a number of state-of-the-art communications and other technologies into a single car, single vehicle.
I don't understand. Explain to me.
The vehicle, officially known as the LTE Connected Car, is a product of Alcatel-Lucent and several other members of
NG Connect. It's an Alcatel car.
An Alcatel car. Yeah, LTE, by the way, stands for long-term
evolution.
We have
actually someone in the family who works for Alcatel.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I know. But this has got pre-integrated examples of applications and services for 3G, 4G, LTE networks, all sorts of things. So the car itself has got all the connectivity built in as part of the baseline of the car.
Very interesting.
So that's another thing that I said was going to happen, and you disagreed with me.
I don't know. I didn't disagree with you on that. But I will tell you.
You did initially.
You know what? I can't remember anything, so I can't back you up on this one. I've given you one today. Don't push your luck, okay? But you know what? There's some useless. It's not a useless gadget, but it sort of is. Speaking of cars, Lamborghini have gotten together with Tag Heuer. I don't know. Is that how you pronounce
Tag Heuer?
Tag Heuer. They've gotten together with them to create a ridiculously overpriced mobile phone that, if you have to ask the price off, you probably can't afford. It's so worded like that that I actually can't find the price of it right now. Save your useless gadget. This is something different. This has a 1.9-inch sapphire crystal display and a 2-megapixel
sapphire crystal,
a 2-megapixel
that's
camera.
Worth more than the bloody phone.
Yeah, it has a Lamborghini logo and a Tag Heuer badging on it, and it is available in a limited edition of 1963, which is the date of this first namesake was sold, the Meredith. Price on it, but here's some rumor for you. Did you want an Apple, an iPhone 3GS? You already have one.
I already have a 3GS.
Okay. Well, if you're one of those people who wanted to buy a 3G iPhone, because they're cheaper, the 3G ones, you might want to wait till around Christmas, because the rumor circulating at the moment is that Apple will be releasing 8GB 3GSs to replace their 3Gs around Christmas time.
And, of course, if you jailbreak your iPhone...
Which I do.
Be very careful, because in the Netherlands...
cracking down on it, aren't they?
No. A number of jailbroken iPhones in the Netherlands have been remotely hacked.
Oh, yes, I did see this.
And the hacker has been holding the phones hostage.
No. He, for what it's worth, because this story might have been updated since you printed it off.
Oh, I've got the rest of it.
Yeah, he came out and said, okay, I did something wrong. I was just kidding. It's all good, everyone. So yeah.
He just doesn't want to get arrested. Too bad.
That's a little bit like that, yeah.
Yes.
Are we all done? You got any more?
Yeah. I think we're done.
I mean, I've got one other one if you want.
I've got one more. It's another iPhone story, if you like.
Okay, and I've got a Windows 7 story to counter your iPhone story.
Okay. A lawsuit has been filed on behalf of Washington resident Michael Turner that alleges Stormate built its games with a feature that automatically...
Stormate. Okay.
That automatically sends the phone number of each host iPhone to the developer. That means
that's actually really cool.
So that you put the application on your phone,
hacker in me thinks that's a fantastic idea.
It sends your phone number back there, and they can do all sorts of things with your phone number. They talk about an invasion of
privacy.
How
did that get through the App Store?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my Windows 7 story is for you. Apparently, there's an unfinished Windows 7 feature inside of a Windows 7. It's called virtual Wi-Fi. It was a Microsoft research thing, and the idea is you can turn your Win 7 laptop into a Wi-Fi hotspot and share it with your friends, coworkers, and anything else. And that's apparently in Windows 7. You just have to dig it out of there.
Okay, that sounds interesting. That's one we'll have to try.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the news.
That's the news.
And Gadget Drill.
Yeah, it is. And we'll have a touch story coming up next. But before we do, we need to color ourselves a new song. This is Dot Allison with Color Me. It's probably electronica, so I'm not sure if you're going to dig into this too much, Dad.
Okay.
But you like the last song.
Yep.
And, you know. So yeah, this is Dot Allison and Color Me.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the buzzing West. And right now we're going to put our greasy little bumblebee paws or feet or antennae or whatever the hell we have. I've got antennae growing from my head. Did you notice? It's a new look for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that was just your crab claws sticking out.
That's my ass. Yeah. Wow.
You can't say ass on the air.
I just did.
Oh, okay.
And they're not crabs, they're crab claws. I'm going to sing myself further with that one, aren't
I? You're going to get yourself in.
Why don't you just take this away from me now?
Okay. We're going to do a review today of the HP TouchSmart
600. Is it a review? We're going to talk about touch technology.
We're going to talk about touch technology.
And review.
And mention the...
you're going to mention... You don't want to review it just yet, do you?
No. The HP TouchSmart, basically what happened was that In Windows 7, they've built in touch technology, including multi-touch technology.
It was sort of there in Vista, but touch was, not multi-touch. But now it's properly there.
Well, you've got multi-touch now in Windows 7, and I thought it would be a good idea to have a bit of a play with it. So I asked our friends at HP if they could let me have a touch device.
And for some reason, they listened to you.
For some reason, Well, I did say they were our friends at HP.
You did?
They actually lent us an HP Touch Smart 600, which is a full computer. It's a very well-specified computer.
It's like a 23-inch iMac sort of computer, but not an iMac. It looks better than an iMac, I think.
I think it looks a bit better than an iMac, and it's slightly better specified than the iMac, too, because you've got the Blu-ray, you've got 4 gig of memory.
You get Blu-ray in it?
Yes.
That's kind of
Blu-ray,
cool.
Blu-ray player.
That's okay.
TV tuner. Full HD, so you can watch.
You can watch an actual movie on it.
You can actually
watch it. And
I have been, and I've been watching TV on it, and I've been playing solitaire on it.
Lazy bastard.
Yeah, no.
Can you play a real game, for crying out loud? It's not like we have a short supply of games already.
Okay, we'll play a real game on it.
Okay, cool. Now talk about how touch works.
Well, the touch is very interesting, because on this now with Windows, you don't need a mouse. They have an on-screen keyboard as well, so you can actually type things onto the screen, and that works quite well.
Now, here's a question for you. There's an on-screen keyboard, and you get a real keyboard with it. Are you finding that you're using the on-screen keyboard more than the regular keyboard?
At the moment, yes, I am. I don't think that I'd use the on-screen keyboard if I was doing documents.
Yeah, I can imagine.
If I was doing Word, that would be unergonomic.
But we've also got things in Windows 7 for touch technology, like the ability to use your finger to write with it. Now, have you been trying, like, using
cursive? I've been doing a little bit of playing with that, and I've been playing with some of the games.
You put your finger to the screen, you scroll, Gary Stark.
I haven't actually done that because I've been that's one thing that I'm still wanting to do, to get into, say, Notepad and use the ink interface.
Because when you look at what this technology is based off of, it's the idea that in the future we won't be using mice, because mice aren't really...
They're not natural.
They're not natural.
My belief is that we're going to be using fingers at some point in the future as the primary input interface.
It comes back to finger painting. It really does.
Well, that's what I told you years ago.
Well, and...
This is the third time this week.
You know what?
Third
screw you. Just stay in your cage, monkey. Gadget.
This is the Gary Was Right show.
It wasn't? I thought this was the Bumblebee show.
We've just changed it. It's the Gary Was Right show.
Sadly for you, there was not a giant Gary at Bondi Beach this week.
No. although there was actually
there
on
was
Monday.
A giant Gary near Bondi Beach in Bondi.
There was a giant Gary at Bondi Beach on Monday.
Really?
Yes.
No.
You were there too.
Oh, a giant Lee.
No, a giant Gary.
Small Lee. In any case, we're talking about, it comes back down to finger painting, where people naturally put their fingers to the screen.
The first thing that you do as a kid, you start drawing in the sand with your fingers.
You start drawing on your parents' walls with your fingers and the paint.
No. You're at the beach, you're in the mud, you know, playing in a mud puddle, you're drawing with your fingers. It's perfectly natural. It's one of the first things that you do as a kid.
So, my question is, has that, because you're the perfect audience for this, you know, you've seen computers essentially evolve from their very point of being, you know, keyboard specific, then mouse, then then touch. Is this more natural, what you're doing?
I think so.
Do you think, how long do you think it will take for the touch technology to propagate itself?
I think we're still another 2 or 3 years down the path from this being where it's going
to
be.
Because the next stage is to actually include holographic technology in relation to this.
Yeah. I think we're still 2 or 3 years down the track before we're going to see this become really every day. But Windows 7 is the start of it.
Mm.
So I think this is where we're going to start to see
it. Now, what do you think in relation to Macs? Because you have a Mac and you have this thing sitting next to each other. I know, I've seen them. Which do you think is easier at this point, using your fingers on the screen on a Windows PC or going back to the single button touchpad of a Mac?
I prefer the touchscreen.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Now, why?
Because it's more natural, it's easier. You're drawing directly on the screen with your finger, so you can do things. The problem that
How many fingers can you put on the screen at once?
I can use 2 fingers at once on the screen.
That's kind of cool.
That's not bad. And the other thing on that is that the one issue that I have with it is that where I put my finger is not necessarily where it seems to register. Now, I don't know
broad surface versus point surface.
Exactly.
Well, so a similar problem that HTC corrected years ago on their phones, where they had a stylus version and a broad surface finger.
Exactly. So that's one thing that I'm getting used to and that I've got to deal with. But I think that's something that's an adjustment for me.
Final thoughts.
I like it. and I'm impressed with the technology. This is the way of the future.
It's the way of the future.
Yeah.
Well, Dad, I'm under your influence, but sadly we're in Mama's room right now. So
okay, this is...
this is under the influence... Oh, you can say it for once.
Under the influence of giants.
You're a mamas. Giant. You're a giant. There was a giant Gary in Bondi.
There you go.
This is Mama's room from Under the Influence of Giants. Radio 2 RDJ, and in case you didn't know, 88.1 is the station we actually broadcast on if you happen to be listening to this on iTunes or some other network.
There's a surprise.
Yeah, but in case you didn't know, why we actually say 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ time we come back in. You don't tell me to get lost. I've got a GPS to back me up. You're reviewing it right now.
Fair enough. Okay. It's a Navigator. It is a Navigator G43 from... what's the name of the people who make it?
Laser,
thank you.
Which are strange because they usually make accessories and blank CDs and all sorts of things like that.
Yeah. This one that I've got, the G43, a 4.3-inch diagonal screen, and I've had this for the last couple of weeks, and I'm quite impressed with the unit. It has some very nice features, especially when you turn off the mapping display, oddly as it seems.
If you turn off the map on a GPS, it becomes a useful GPS.
Yeah, well,
let me get this straight. Non-navigational GPS.
No, it's still, if you're using it for directions, it'll still talk to you with the directions.
Okay.
You've got a feature whereby you can push a...
The map's kind of weird. It's very old school with the red car.
Yeah, the map...
You drive a silver car.
I drive a silver car, not a red car, so they need to be able to customise that. The maps are UBD style, which is okay. There's a little section in the top right-hand corner where if you didn't get the last instruction, you can just tap the screen and it'll replay the last instruction
for
you.
Yeah, our expensive one didn't have that.
No, that's right. And when you turn off the map display, you still get all the instructions, but it then gives you a speedo display. So you've got a good speedo display with a couple of other useful bits of information. And the stats are quite good as well. Tells you how long you've been going on the trip for. What's your average speed? Sydney traffic is about 3 kilometres an hour.
Yeah.
What your maximum and minimum altitudes are for the trip, so you can work out, you know, sort of how high you're flying. My only gripe about this particular unit is that it's a slow CPU. It's just a little bit slow in terms of recalculating, and
you seem to like the device. And what's the RRP on this?
The RRP on this one, I think, is 229. I think.
See, I think that might be
for the CPU. I think it's slightly expensive.
Yeah, I mean, street price on GPS units, in fact, on most computers, is usually inflated. If the RRP is 230, you will generally find it between 150 and 180 as a high point.
Yeah.
But even so, that might be a little high given the slow CPU of this.
Yeah. It took a minute to
recalculate one route at one point.
It took a little bit longer than we certainly expected it would. But otherwise, the instructions, the usability of it is very,
very good.
You liked
the feel of it, didn't you?
The feel of it,
and
yeah.
You thought the touchscreen was actually better than the Navman.
Was it a $300-$400 Navman?
The second to the top of the range Navman. The touchscreen on this was better.
And this one actually has better programming in it as well. The Navman.
You just didn't like it telling you were in a school zone when you obviously weren't in a school zone.
Well, it's not just that. The screen programming on the Navman is very sloppy, I think. Just very poor programming.
So what do you give this? What do you think?
I'd give this one about a 7.5 out of 10.
Well, I didn't know we were using that sort of rating system, but that's good to know that you're thinking that way.
Yeah.
You're thinking positively.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and start that 30-second startup on that song if
can
you
I?
Want.
Okay.
And we can talk about because GPS are a great Christmas item there leading into it.
Exactly.
You think this is a good one for people?
I think this would be a very good unit.
We should probably get a few other units in to test against, to be honest.
Yes, we should.
How do you, Australian maps? It supports it.
Australian maps, it's got Perth, it's got quite a few other things.
It's got an SD card slot as well, so you can play music on it.
You can play music on it as well. It's got an MP3 player.
Is the speaker
I haven't tried
good?
That. The speaker's not bad, it's got reasonable volume. So, all in all, I don't think it's too bad a unit. It's somewhat impressive.
Cool, not bad. Well, this is completely unrelated to this. You didn't think we could find a cornfield out there.
No.
This is Alison Krauss, well, sort of. It's Alison Krauss and someone else who I can't remember right now, with The Boy Who Wouldn't Hoe Corn.
Okay.
farmer who wouldn't hoe his corn. The reason why I never could take him, well, that young man was always well.
ADA.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is The Gadget Grill, the final moments of The Gadget Grill, where we dig up our jazz, because I like to end on jazz, being my show. I like to end on this really harmonious, sort of nice sound that jazz creates. I'm speaking out of my ass right now. I said it again. See? Said it again. I haven't kicked off the air. Haven't been censored. I'm allowed to say ass. I'm just not allowed to say anything else.
Right.
Which is why I speak so much.
Yes.
And we do.
Well, you know, the less we say, the better we sound.
And, you know, we might be back next week with someone else speaking, because the less we say, the less we... Yeah, exactly. I've got a few interviews lined
sober?
Up.
Are you
Yes. Okay. Yes, okay. I am.
I believe you have a useless gadget.
I do, and I believe you have something useless to go with my useless gadget.
I have
gadget.
Something that is cool that goes with your
okay,
useless
well,
gadget.
Okay, well, my useless gadget's semi-cool. You actually liked it, whereas Peter, on the other hand, who's in the other room, I showed it to him. He was like, why? Why would you want this? Well, this, what we're talking about, is a comb for your hair, which I guess I can see why you find it cool, because you have no hair.
I have no hair.
I'm not much better.
This could be,
I have no
this
hair, and I must
be,
scream.
This could actually be... They could do this as a toothbrush, too.
Anyway, they could, actually. That's right, especially... Depending on who you go to, Arkansas would be useful for that. The toothbrush you keep inside your mouth. It's a USB comb. Now, I don't normally think of a USB comb as being a good thing, because it's a comb. What would you need? What power would you possibly need to use of a comb, especially while it's attached to your computer? But wait, there's more. The comb has a 2 gig USB slot built into the base. Now, I personally think it's a bad idea, because I mean, it's a comb. It's relatively large. It needs to fit in your hand. How are you going to put your 2 gig USB key in your pocket like that? It's not like a keychain thing. And if you put it in your pocket, all the things break off, which makes it more of an Arkansas comb. Actually, no, it makes the baldness comb, because you've broken off all the things and all it becomes is a back scratcher for your head.
You mean a head scratcher for your back?
That's it, yeah. One of them.
I've got an 8 LED telephone RJ11 powered.
You had to 8 the LED?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It has 8 LEDs. It is a table reading light lamp, little mm-hmm. table lamp, 8 LEDs in it, but it is powered by an RJ11 telephone socket.
A telephone socket?
You plug it into your telephone.
Does Telstra pick it up as an extra phone if you plug it in?
No, but you see, what happens is, to power your telephone, they run power along the actual telephone.
Then why
line.
Does your phone require a power plug?
It doesn't.
Oh.
For an ordinary phone, it doesn't actually require power.
But for an unordinary phone, it does.
If you've got a...
They've got a digital phone you need.
Yeah. But if you've just got an ordinary plain old phone, you just plug it in and it picks its power up off the network.
Mm-hmm.
And so does this light. You just plug it in and it takes its power off that.
I'm going to raise your telephone I'm going to match your telephone and
it's
raise you.
It's not a
you.
Telephone, it's a light.
Fine, I'm going to match your telephone-operated light and raise you one hamburger USB mouse warmer pad.
What?
Which is a mouse pad and a warmer, so you can plug it in USB to your computer and it warms your hands up, because it's like putting your hand inside a giant... hamburger.
Don't go there.
I was going to say what it's like putting your hands into. I'm just not sure if I'm quite allowed to say that on the air. I know I'm probably allowed to, but I'm just not going to push my luck.
Stick with hamburger.
It's like putting your hand inside a giant, quote, hamburger, unquote, and you warm up, you know, your hand while you're inside this hamburger, and it's all nice and plush, and you use it as a mouse pad. I'm going to shut up now. You want to finish the show?
Okay. You have been listening to, or perhaps you have just missed, The Gadget Grill onto RDJ FM 88.1.
Where it's all nice and warm and cozy, because you've got your hand inside these different things, and Dad's got his hand inside one right now as he pushes all the buttons. It's this giant, warm and inviting and cozy space. It's all plush and lovely, and I'll shut up now.
We broadcast onto RDJ FM 88.1 every Sunday night.
Where it's extra plush and
9
warm.
9 p.m. until 10 p.m.
And it's so plush and warm in here that we just can't contain ourselves. Colin's about to become the plush and warm person in here as well.
And on the internet on www.radio2rdj.com.
The internet is so plush and warm. I so think it is.
And you can also get podcasts of this show from www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
And what are the podcasts? They're plush and warm, like that USB mouse warmer thingy.
And on the subject of plush and warm, we're going to finish off the show with Joey DeFrancesco, and this is My Foolish Hearth.
See you, Australia. Have a good week. Make sure it's all plush and warm.
We'll see you plush and warm next Sunday night.
We will. Keep putting your hands in things.